Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you this morning on this Father's Day. And before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we're able to gather together, that your Spirit is with us. And we pray now, Lord, that your Spirit would instruct our heart and make us bold to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, it's great to be here as we continue our journey, our walk through First Peter. And today we're in 1 Peter 3, verses 13 to 22. And we're not going to go through it on a blow-by-blow basis, but there's one theme in particular that stood out for me as I was reading it and then prayerfully considering what I would say to you today. And so I'm going to pick up on that in a moment. The first thing to do is that I'm sure you all know what these are. I was clearing out some stuff in my parents' house recently and found these binoculars. And I'm sure all you kids at home know about binoculars as well. And so when you look through this end, things become up close, and when you turn it around and look through this end, things look far away. So, up close, far away. And the reason I brought them with me today is, well, firstly, to warn everybody coming to the drive-in service that I'll be able to see all the cars in the back row and what sweets you're eating. No. The thing is to ask you how you think people are looking at you as someone who proclaims Christ crucified. How are people looking at you? Do you think they're seeing you far away, or do you think they're seeing you up close? Because I'm pretty sure that the world sees Christians up close. We are under constant scrutiny. People are watching us. And it begs the question, what do you say to people about why you love Jesus? What do you say to people about why you love Jesus? There's a whole area of theology called apologetics, which is devoted to that very question. What do you say to people when they ask you, why do you love Jesus? Why are you a Christian? What is all this Christianity about? And I'm sure you kids as well, when you're in school, and maybe sometimes people ask you, well, why do you go to Sunday school? And why do you like Jesus? And having an answer to that question is something that's really, really important. And it was that part of this passage which kind of jumped out at me this week as I was preparing. And it comes in verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So it seems that Peter is reminding the people of God that they need to know why they love the Lord Jesus, and they need to be able to tell others why they love the Lord Jesus. And this got me thinking about the broader aspect of what we all call witness. You see, all these passages so far in 1 Peter have been dealing with an instruction to the people of God about how they behave. And more so, they have been dealing with relationships and how the people of God relate to each other. And then specifically, as I was explaining last week, how they behave towards each other in marriage. But on a broader basis, how we all behave towards one another as the people of God. The nature of our relationships. And fundamentally then, that is important because the way in which we relate to each other and the way in which we relate to God is being watched by the wider world. And I can't think of a better time, certainly in my lifetime, of being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the middle of this coronavirus crisis, people are watching. People are watching how we're behaving. People are watching and listening to what we say and looking at the things we do, looking at the way we conduct church. And isn't it marvelous with all this technology that we've been able to continue church, albeit in a different way? And church will probably never be the same again, but it's still church. And that got me thinking about, well, there haven't always been John Stotts and Tim Kellers and Nicky Gumbels and all these great preachers, all these great charismatic preachers, all these great communicators. They weren't always around. How did the Word of God get spread? How did Christianity grow? How did the kingdom here on earth grow? And I was reminded of a quote by the Swiss-born American theologian called Philip Schaff. And Philip Schaff said this about the spread of Christianity. He said this: while there were no professional missionaries devoting their whole life to this specific work, every congregation was a missionary society, and every Christian believer a missionary, inflamed by the love of Christ to convert his fellow men. Every Christian told his neighbor, the laborer to his fellow laborer, the slave to his fellow slave, the servant to his master and mistress, the story of his conversion, as a mariner tells the story of the rescue from the shipwreck. And this was Schaff talking about the immediate post-apostolic church. When all the apostles had gone, when there were no amazing preachers around, indeed for about 400 years, until Chrysostom came along, there were no great preachers. And the Word of God and Christianity spread because of the witness, as Warren Wiersbe says, of the common believer. You and me. And so as we look at this passage and this piece in particular, which says to us, indeed, it is commanding to us to have an answer for when we're asked, basically, why do you love Jesus? And I guess I'm saying it to all of you, the adults and the children, in every walk of life, that question's going to pop up. And sometimes it will come up quite directly and lovingly, and at other times it will come at you in a way in which you mightn't like it too much. But you still have to have an answer as to why you love Jesus. You see, the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ is everyone's responsibility who declares their love for Jesus Christ. Everyone's responsibility. And often it's not what we say, but how we behave that reveals our love for Jesus, and then the translation of that love into the wider community, namely through our relationships. And we saw that in last week's piece where Peter was talking to wives and husbands and telling them that wives were beautiful to God, not by how they looked, but actually by the things that they did in converting their husbands to Jesus Christ. So often, the focus is on the spoken and written word, while in reality, the vast majority of people are influenced by Christians simply by observing their behavior. And there's a story, now it's a made-up story, about Jesus. It goes like this. It says, according to a legend, that's a made-up story, when Jesus returned to heaven following his death on the cross and resurrection from the tomb, the angels gathered in amazement. They gazed at the wounds in his hands and feet and shuddered to recall his suffering. Finally, Gabriel spoke, "Master, you suffered terribly down there. Do they know and appreciate the extent of your sacrifice?" "No," said Jesus, "not yet. Right now, only a handful of people in Palestine know." "Then what have you done to let everyone else know?" asked Gabriel. "Well, I've asked Peter, James and John and a few others to spread the news. They will tell others who will tell others until the message spreads to the ends of the earth." But Gabriel, knowing the nature of human beings, asked Jesus, "What is plan B?" "I have no plan B," replied Christ. "There is no alternative strategy. I'm counting on them." 20 centuries later or so, he still has no other plan. He's counting on you and me. You and me to be faithful witnesses to what he did at the cross for you and for me. You see, it's in life and the living of life and the experience of life that we tell the story of Jesus Christ. And we need to have a really good answer for why we love him. And it's no good saying to ourselves, "Well, you know, there's been a really lot of good work done about 20 or 30 years ago. I can rest on my laurels. And I know that I've seen there's quite a few good ministers coming along, and they'll be able to boost that. I don't have anything to do." There's no point thinking like that. Billy Graham was very, very strong on that thinking. He said this: "The evangelistic harvest is always urgent. The destiny of men and of nations is always being decided. Every generation is strategic. We are not responsible for the past generation, and we cannot bear full responsibility for the next one, but we do have our generation. God will hold us responsible as to how well we fulfill our responsibilities to this age and take advantage of our opportunities." In other words, you and I are in the hot seat right now, so to speak. It's up to us to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no more important an opportunity or time than in the midst of a crisis. People are watching closely. They want to know how we're behaving. And they're making judgments based on what they see and hear. Peter knows this. In speaking to the people of God about how they should respond when asked about Christ, he needs them to have a robust and loving answer and deliver that message, as he says, with gentleness and respect. He's also reminding the people of God that they need to be unified in the way in which they do this. And we see that right at the beginning of the passage that Ian read for us. Verse 8, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." We need to be together on how our witness is being perceived and understood. It's vitally important. And Peter is getting this across in this passage, which he then relates to how the people of God should behave when they're suffering. Now, we're living at a time when many people are suffering. Not just those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, but many, many others who have yet to do so. And so it is vitally important that in the midst of this crisis, the people of God are seen to behave and act as one, revealing the love of Christ in their life with gentleness and respect, but nevertheless having an answer to why we love Jesus. And that goes for all you kids watching this as well. It is vitally important that you start to filter back into school and into playing with your friends in ways that you've been restricted in the past few months, that you behave as you know you love the Lord Jesus. And maybe the Lord will inspire someone to ask you why you love the Lord Jesus. Now I'm going to finish with this lovely little story about Francis of Assisi. And Francis of Assisi lived many hundreds of years ago, but as you know, was a prominent saint. And one day he's out and about with his young novice. That's his trainee priest. And they're on their way for Francis to be able to speak to a crowd. And they go through the village, and up the mountainside and down the other side of the mountain and through another village and through a packed market square and eventually get to the point where Francis is to preach and there aren't too many people there and he's considered and he thinks about it. He says, well, you know what? I don't think I will preach now. And the young novice is absolutely astounded. But we've come all this way to preach. The people of God need to hear you preach. And Francis says this to the young novice. He says, it is of no use, my son, to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere we walk. Isn't that great? It is of no use, my son, to walk anywhere to preach unless we preach everywhere we walk. In other words, the way in which we live our lives should preach of the Christ within our lives, the Christ we profess through our lives, the Christ that went to the cross for our lives. We have to live it every day. We have to do so with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, with unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And we must be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. That is Jesus Christ. We must be able to give that answer with gentleness and respect. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves, folks. And the crisis only heightens the opportunity for others to see Christ. They're watching us. Let them see a loving person in Jesus Christ who will behave with gentleness and respect towards them and whose life speaks of the person of Jesus Christ. Let's make it our aim this week to re-energize in the power of the Spirit and walk the talk, not just talk the talk. Amen.